Some of us go along just to get along. Amen. And that's important, but what's more important is that we not just be going along, but that we have a foundation that's necessary for us to get along. And this is important because God wants us to all get along. And I don't know, but it's just something that's pleasant about getting along. Amen? A person who says that we want to get along, it is a cry for a higher purpose. Amen. Getting along. It is a cry for a greater good. Amen. It is a cry for a better day. Amen. Because we want to get along. And it is something that requires us to put our best foot forward. It requires us to do our part. It requires, it is a requirement if we are going to get along. And we will do so. We will get along. If we just do one thing, amen, keep our eyes on the prize, amen. Amen. Keep our eyes. The aim of the sermon is for us to keep our eyes on the prize. Amen. It is to focus on the end result. The end result of getting along is so good that it makes you want to get along. And if we keep our eyes on the prize, then we will do what it takes to get along. Amen. And because I know, don't you hate it when people that you love are at each other's throat? Amen. Amen. You just want people that you love to get along. We think about the country and the fact that the president and the Congress don't get along. I wonder why. Don't you hate it when the citizens of these United, supposed to be United States, something that's called United is not united. And so the citizens are there wanting and saying, why can't they just get along? Amen. When you think about not only the country, but when you think about couples, children are victimized by their division. And they look at them both and they say, why can't we all just get along? Because someone said that if you want to make your children happy, love their mother. Because their heart is with their mother, and their heart is even with their father. But the children is kind of like, I just want y'all to, I hate to see y'all, can't we just all get along? Have we got a witness? And even in the church, we see friends I've heard of churches that have had 2 aisles, and one group of folks sit on this side and the other group sit on this side. And they, it's that much division that when they all come to church, they sit on the opposite, they know where they're going to sit. And even at business meetings, they see them at each other's throat, and somebody is into it with somebody else I love. And why can't we all just get along for a greater good, for a higher purpose, for a better day, for a brighter day? When I think about the end result of it, I find out that, yes, it is better that we all get along. Paul establishes his position as an apostle, one sent by God. In verse 1, he says that I'm the writer of this letter, and he says that I want us to get along. He says, I'm sent. And he says in verse 2 that we are to be really calling upon the name of the Lord. And when I think about the name of the Lord, it speaks of his authority. Because when you come in somebody's name, and then you authorize to act on their behalf. And Paul says, I'm coming. And for all of those who will worship the Lord. And he says, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace, charis, that word means, it's a greeting. For the non-Jews, amen, if you were a Greek, you would say grace. And if you were a Jew, you would say shalom, or peace. And it was a greeting. So he's a greeting the non-Jews, and he's greeting the Jews. And he says in verse 4 that I just thank God for you. I really do. I thank God for you. And Christ has enriched you in verse 5 in both you enriched in knowledge. You have been enriched as you have become Christians. Your words, your speech has even gotten better. Your thinking has even improved. And I greet you, and I want you all to know that you have been enriched. And he lets them know that in verse 6 that you have been you've shown the evidence. The evidence is there of change. Do you have any evidence of change? I mean, you know, we can tell folk we say. Amen. But ask your neighbor, are you guilty, though? Can they find anything that proves that you have come out of darkness? I mean, is there any evidence that you've turned around, that you've, let me settle down. The truth is there any, I guess what I'm looking for is proof. Is there any proof that you have been changed? Paul says, you're enriched, and I've got the evidence. And he said, not only that, your gift in verse 7 is that you've been using your gift, and that you, matter of fact, you don't come behind. You're endowed. You don't come behind in no spiritual gift. Now, this was a gift to church. They didn't come behind in no spiritual gift. They had it all. They had it all. And he says that you all don't lag. You don't come behind in no spiritual gift. And he said, not only that, I have found you to be, in verse 8, blameless. Amen. That word doesn't mean that you're sinless. Amen. Because they'll wipe everybody in here out. Amen. Amen. But it means that you are guiltless. Is that because of the blood you have, amen, you are not guilty now. Isn't it good to be not guilty? I'm innocent. Amen. I'm an innocent person. And Paul lets them know that that's the way it is. And he says in verse number, not only are you faultless, but you understand the faithfulness of God in verse 9 is that it is the faithfulness of God that has kept us. He is faithful. Amen. I may not be faithful. But what God is saying to us is, I'm the kind of a God that when you become mine and you really accept me as your Lord and Savior, you may try to let me go, but I won't let you go. I'm like your mama. You're my child, and we're going across the street, and you think you're holding my hand, but I'm holding your hand. And I got you. I mean, God has got it covered. I got you by the hand. And grace holds us, even when we don't deserve it. He is faithful. It didn't say I was faithful. Now, I ought to be faithful, but it didn't say that. It just said in verse 9 that he is faithful. Amen. He is faithful, who has called us into this fellowship, this koinonia, this brotherly love, these brothers who are in the same boat, these fellows in the same ship. We fellowshipping together. He said, but out of all of that, there's a problem. Amen. There's a problem. Y'all can't get along. Now you got all of this going along. Amen. You got all this going for you. But he says, you can't get along. He says, I beseech you, brethren, amen, by the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, amen, and that you all speak the same thing and that there be no division among you and that you be perfectly joined together of the same mind and of the same judgment. He says, now he appeals to them. He could have used his apostolic authority in verse 10, but he didn't use it. He said, I could make you because I'm authorized, but I'm going to beg you. I'm not going to force you. Amen. I beseech thee. I beg thee. Amen. Amen. I'm begging you. He says that I am begging you, brethren. Amen. And we know we're talking to church folk now, right? He's talking to folk that's already saved. Let me get on. The truth is that I beg you, brethren, in the name of the Lord Jesus. He said, now, I'm coming by the authority of the one who sent me. And I see a problem in this Corinthian church. And I'm coming on the basis of the authority of the one who sent me. And I'm just going to beg with you all. I'm going to beseech you all to understand that you got to get along. Amen. I'm begging you to get along. It's a plea for unity. Amen. It's a plea for peace. It is a plea for tranquility. Amen. Because people ought to get along. Amen. Everybody wants people to just to have a pleasant environment. He said, I'm coming to you on that name. And what I want you to do is have the same words. Speak the same thing. Have the same voice. Amen. When it comes to our faith, when it comes to our worshiping God, we ought to be saying the same thing. Amen. Because you know they were not saying the same thing. In verse 12, we find out that some say I'm of Paul, and some say I'm of Apollos. Amen. Some say I'm of Cephas. That Aramaic name really means Peter. Some says that I am of Christ. He said, you all are divided. You're divided, amen, over the person of Christ. And the truth is that you all need to speak the same thing. You all need to have, one translation says, you ought to have a united testimony about your faith. Amen. Have the same testimony about Jesus. And quit focusing on you and focus on what he did. It is that Christ is at the center of what you believe. Some says, I'm of Paul, but no doubt these were Gentiles, because the Gentiles, amen, Paul had a Gentile message, and amen, everybody was after what meant something to them, amen. Some say, I'm of Apollos, that erudite learned person, Apollos of Alexandria. He spoke eloquently, and they say, I'm with Apollos. Apollos, I'm an intellectual, so therefore I'm with him. I'm dealing with Greek philosophy and all of these different types of things. I'm an intelligent person. Some says I'm of Cephas. No doubt this was one of the Jews, because the Jews, amen. Peter, Jesus had told him, upon this rock I'll build my church. Oh Lord, this sermon getting longer and longer. It's the Jews. I'm getting behind Peter because I'm a Jew. Amen. Isn't it amazing how people would get behind certain things that interest them? He says, I'm gonna get behind my race. Instead of getting behind all races, I'm gonna pick out the one that applies to me, and I won't be able to worship with nobody but. Have we got a witness? And they say that people are divided over Jesus. Now, how can you be divided over Jesus? Jesus is the antithesis of division. If there's anybody that brings unity, it's Jesus. So how can anything that's got to do with Jesus be divided? The truth of the matter is, amen. He says, some, now, I'm... And then some, that holier than thou crowd, you don't want to get them stirred up. I'm of Christ. I don't deal with man at all. I don't need no church. And I don't need no clergy. And I don't make contributions nowhere. And I don't use my gift nowhere. I'm so holy, I just worship the Lord at home. You know anybody like that? They probably sitting at home now. You probably left some of them at home. They too holy to go to church. But now, what did the Bible say? And that's what the bottom line is. I was talking to somebody in between classes, the new members class, about that. Amen. It doesn't matter what I think. It's what the Bible says. Forsake not, Hebrews 10:25, the assembling. We're the ecclesia. We're called out. And we come to the house of God. And we've been called out to be together. Now, how you expect to live with me in heaven if you can't worship with me down here on earth? We're divided. Many are. He says, y'all got to have the same, you have to have a united testimony about our faith. He says, you got to have a united testimony. He says and that there be no division among you, and that you be perfectly joined together. Being joined together means that you got to do some work. It don't just happen overnight. You got to be perfectly joined together. That word perfectly joined together, which means to mend. Perfectly joined together. It's like mending a fracture or a bone. And he said, now, you're both broken. Ain't nobody where they ought to be. How many of y'all know that? But how many of y'all know that Jesus' blood can mend us. Amen. He can bring us together. He can repair our fractured bones. He said that you be joined, perfectly joined together. It don't mean y'all going to be perfect. But God says, I can put you perfectly together. And you'll do it when you got the same, using the same words. And he says that you got to have the same voice. You got to have the same mind. And how many of y'all know that the mind we ought to have is Jesus' mind? Now, that'll help us come together. Because the Bible says that let this mind be in you, Philippians 2:5, that was also in Christ Jesus. He thought it robbery not be to be, although he was equal to he was equal to God, he thought it not robbery, but he made himself of no reputation. You see, that's why folk can't come together. They think too much of themselves. Maybe I'm a better this, I'm a better that. I got a better religion. I got a better race. I got more money than you. I got something you ain't got, and you are not in my category. So I've inflated myself. Amen. And you're not on my level. But Jesus says, although I am God, he says, I'm making myself of no reputation. How many of you know folk trying to build a reputation? They name dropping. They trying to build a reputation, trying to get in with the right folk. Jesus said, I'm not trying to get no reputation. I'm trying to give away one. He said he made himself of no reputation and made of himself and took on the form of a servant. Have I got a witness? Now, that's now you know what I call that verse 8 of Philippians chapter 2? I call that humility. He humbled himself. Isn't that what it takes to be a Christian? He said, if anybody come after me, if you can't humble yourself like a child, then you are not worthy to be my follower. Every one of God's people got to be humble. We got to be humble enough. Amen. Amen. We've got to be humble enough. We got to have the mind of Christ, and that we have the same judgment. If we do that, we'll have the same outcome. Have we got a witness? We'll have the same outcome. We'll have the same outcome. That means that we'll all be serving God, and we'll all be the way we want, the way He wants us to be. We will have a wonderful fragrance as a church. We will have a wonderful, wonderful fragrance whenever people come together. But understand something, that they were divided over people. People. Now, they left church talking about Peter. They left church talking about Paul and Apollos. The truth is, when you leave church, amen, you ought to be talking about Jesus. You ought not be talking about nobody. You ought not be bringing up nobody's name. Amen, amen, amen. You ought to be bringing up the name of Jesus. You shouldn't remember the preacher more than you remember the name. Amen. Because it's interesting that it was the people left the church and they were divided over the preachers. They had picked their own favorite preacher. But God is telling us here this morning that it's not supposed to be that way. Amen. You don't be selfish enough to serve your own interests. And you can't go and just say, I'm going to support the preacher that does what I want done. And he asked them a very interesting question in verse 12. He said, is Christ divided? Can everybody say, is Christ divided? Amen. Is Christ divided? Paul said, now look, did I die for anybody, y'all? Why y'all calling my name instead of God's name? Did I go to the cross? He said, was any of you all baptized in my name? When I baptize you, say, I'm baptizing you in the name of Rondi. I'm baptizing. Paul says, we haven't died for any of y'all. Is Christ divided? The people were allowing people to divide them from the Lord. And they were promoting people over, and they use their own personal interests. Well, the fact of the matter is that God does not want you to promote your personal interests. When people start doing only what they want to do, then they're not honoring God. Amen. I'm only interested in what I'm interested in. I don't see the big picture. But the end results of a church, the end results of couples, amen, the end result of a country that comes together looks so much better than one that's split and divided apart. People are divided. Races are divided. Religion divided. Amen. You got this denomination, that denomination, this one over here, and that one over there, and that one. We split up all in the name of Christ. And even those who call themselves non-denominational is a denomination. Amen. We all split up. Relationships that are missing out on the joys of vacation and honeymoon and time together and cold nights and long vacations and Valentine's days have all gone in the trash because somebody don't get along, and the house is not a home. And you wonder what's missing. Well, I'm glad we got to it. Yeah, and I'm going to get this and get on out of it. The truth of the matter is that Paul wrote the first part of his letter. We're talking about the flesh. Because these Corinthians, and we didn't go into that. That's a whole nother sermon. Take somebody better than me to preach that, because these Corinthians were some bad people. Taking each other to court, having orgies, not getting married, sleeping with the kinfolk. Oh, that don't even sound good. And the fact of the matter is, and Paul said, you all are gifted. You don't come behind in no gift. You gifted, but you don't get along. You don't like nobody. You can sing in the choir. You can sing folk happy. You can preach folk happy. Amen. You can teach that Sunday school lesson. But you're divided. You don't like everybody. You like certain ones more. Now, you may as well go ahead and clap. You're giving yourself away. If you don't clap, you're giving yourself. You better hear them clap. You've divided your church. You've divided your home. And you are at a standoff because it's all about you instead of about Jesus.